Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gorvani Pachani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Prasachade Satarni Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivindam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya What time is this over? 9? Please accept my most humble obeisances, Prabhus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. It is a great privilege to be here. It is actually Prabhupada's mercy that he's given this most fallen soul some understanding a little of what Krishna consciousness is, because I can see in all of your faces you're actually very happy devotees. You have a good leader, my god brother Radhanath Swami. He is giving you Krishna consciousness as it should be. As a matter of fact, since I've come back to India, I was thinking I should write a book called Krishna Consciousness as It Was. Because we have gone through some changes in ISKCON, but there was a time when I remember as a brahmachari that Krishna Consciousness was like this, what you're experiencing here every day. A nice morning RT program, nice offering, nice prasadam, nice preaching, nice samkirtan, nice evening program, go back to sleep, dream about Krishna, wake up, start all over again. That was the perfection. And it was all due to Prabhupada's mercy, and he was able to keep us all on track. And I was just noticing that you have to sign your name to make sure that we know that you're here this morning. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. That is actually very, very helpful, because it will keep you spiritually honest. And you have to be here. And then what will happen is that you'll actually get all of the benefit. This is very wonderful. Again, like I said, I can see in your faces. This is like in the beginning, Prabhupada, he used to be able to look and be able to tell everything about us. He would see our faces and he would know whether we were good or bad, any of our past misdeeds. And I can look in your faces now and see that you have some good Krishna conscious training. And again, that is all due to the good mercy of Radhanath Swami and due to Srila Prabhupada and all of the parampara. So thank you again for allowing me to be here. If I do not follow this program exactly the way that it normally is, please forgive me. I'm not familiar with all of your procedures yet, but I will try to speak simply and give you the best of what I have learned by Prabhupada's mercy. And as I understand, Prabhu, I'm not going to read the whole text. It's just a little bit much. It would take half the day. So I will simply read the translation, and then we'll discuss. This is the descendant of the rivers Ganges, which is a very wonderful story. The descent of the rivers Ganges. And this is the Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 13. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In each of those tracts of land, there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season. and there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains, demarcating the borders of those lands, lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds, such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes, become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers, and the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varsas enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is a description of the lower heavenly planets. Now, that's the lower heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes filled with newly grown lotus flowers and gardens filled with fruits, flowers, various kinds of birds, and hummingbees. In that atmosphere, they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives, who are always sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, they are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as will be explained in subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, but when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. Hare Krishna. How many of you would like to go to the lower heavenly planets? See, you're very, very well educated. Actually, in the West, in Judaic Christian philosophy, particularly in Christianity, this concept of going to heaven is actually desirable. Because there, and even in Islam, I believe it's stated that if you return to paradise, that you will be greeted with 16 virgins. That's the reward for going to heaven, 16 virgins. One time I asked, I said, well, what about the women when they go back? What do they get? I still haven't got a straight answer to that. And the Christians, again, their desire is to go back to heaven because they can enjoy. The streets are paved with gold. And that is basically their desire because they have been trained by their philosophy to understand that that is the highest achievement. Even at that point, they are not fully understanding or conversant with the processes of what will actually be going on there. If you ask them, they cannot explain in detail what activities go on. They have some concept. You can imagine, but that is the imagination. Prabhupada says we should not speculate. So even to go to heaven is not a bad thing, but for the devotee, it is completely undesirable because you are not anxious about going to heaven, and nor would you care if you go to hell. As Lord Chaitanya said, all that I want is that I can have your unalloyed devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Because basically, once you are actually on the platform of devotional service, you're already in heaven. You're actually surpassing heaven. You're in Vaikuntha. Even surpassing Vaikuntha, you're in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. And you are directly engaging in the pastimes with Krishna and the gopis. That is our goal. That is why we are so fortunate to be in this sampradaya. Because our objective is not simply to go to heaven. Actually, as devotees, we can enjoy, even here on this planet, we enjoy our life. The degree hostas, they have wives, they enjoy life with their families. In a perfect Krishna conscious atmosphere, which is similar to what you're experiencing here and what is actually being developed, I can see very nicely. You're already beginning to see some of the symptoms that we have here that are explained. We have not yet imported the birds, but you have a garden, and in that garden you have beautiful fruits and flowers and trees. All of that is already there. As a matter of fact, I was telling someone, if I lived in India, if I didn't have any other alternative, there would be no question of not living in the temple. Because in the temple, you're already going to get these heavenly delights. These enjoyable things are already here. Gardens filled with fruits, flowers, and various kinds of birds and hummingbees. This is also another description of Vrindavan. If you wanted to be as a devotee, you would not have to search separately to find a place to go to enjoy heavenly delights. We already know where Vrindavan is. And here, you are making Vrindavan. You are creating the spiritual world. Maharaj is doing such wonderful service. He is actually providing you with the heavenly delights already here. You have nice foods. You're enjoying like the nice prasadam on a regular basis. And consequently, as a result, you're happy. And I was noticing during kirtan, you're smiling. The smile, the Krishna conscious smile is special. It doesn't come from any other thing other than just simply hearing the holy name of the Lord. So technically, all of you, you already look like denizens of heaven. Prabhupada said that is how he was able to become so successful. He turned all of these young boys and girls into denizens. They look like denizens from heaven. If the demigods came here, they would want to come here first because this is the place that most resembles their own abode. So actually, in many ways, as devotees, we are very, very fortunate. Prabhupada has brought, even on this earth, heaven. He has brought us heaven. So we are satisfied, at least in our neophyte stage, in the beginning stage, we are out of the suffering of the material world. We are away from all of what is advertised as being nice, which we now see as being very distasteful. Material enjoyment, even if we are in a palace, even though we would say that it is very palatial and very beautiful, it does not have the same texture, it does not have the same taste, it does not have the same rasa as that of being in the temple and being in front of the deities and being amongst the association of great Vaishnavas. That association and that by seeing the deities and dancing in front of the deities, it is already heaven. So technically, we have already achieved that goal. Many times devotees in the beginning are so much concerned about going to heaven or going to hell. They spend a lot of their time thinking, oh, I'm not going to make it. Oh, I'm not qualified. Oh, if I commit one sinful act, I'm going to hell. Actually, we have to understand that even in this condition, we are already in a liberated state. Prabhupada said that in order to be able to perform devotional service performed properly is already in the state of liberation. All of the yogic processes that people are attempting right now cannot qualify for what we have already achieved at this point alone. Just already being in this atmosphere, you're already on the liberated state. So technically, You don't have to worry. You're already experiencing heaven. You're already liberated. Prabhupada has given us that mercy. And unless you knowingly and willingly commit sinful activities, then your acceptance or entrance back into the spiritual world is almost guaranteed. Prabhupada said there is no guarantee. In other words, what he was saying is that don't screw it up. Don't take it for granted. But at the same time, don't be so much concerned about your liberated status. That is being taken care of automatically for you. It's sort of like when I asked Maharaj, please get me from Vrindavan to Bombay. I did not want, in between is hell. And I didn't know how to get from one heaven, one spiritual heaven to the other spiritual heaven. And he said, don't worry, we'll make the arrangements. So it was a very nice trip. So I didn't have to worry because he gave me his guarantee. So I go from Vrindavan to another Vrindavan, just that easy. Because I had some faith that Maharaj was going to make the arrangements and that Prabhupada and that Krishna were going to protect me all throughout the journey, and they did. Every time that I would leave to go from one location to another, Krishna would send other devotees or other people who are very kind and very helpful to be able to see me on my journey. He sends what I would consider angels to come to protect me. So similarly, in our condition right now, we are all being protected in our journey going through this material world. So don't fear, don't worry. This is the greatest, actually, by being concerned and being fearful of going to heaven or going to hell is actually an offense to the spiritual master, because then it proves that you do not have faith that he is going to liberate you. And if he could not liberate you, he would not have accepted you as his disciple in the first place. Because the qualification of guru, meaning the definition of guru, is first of all, has to be a Vaishnava who is able to grant you liberation. So again, you must accept the fact that you are already liberated. The spiritual master is carrying you through this material world. He is protecting you just like a father protects a child. So your entrance back into the spiritual kingdom is almost guaranteed, unless you screw it up. And Prabhupada will always make that condition, that unless we do something wrong, as long as we fulfill our end of the contract, he will fulfill his end of the contract. It's better than any guarantee that you can get. Because Krishna also guarantees that for one who surrenders unto me, I will give him complete protection. So do you understand how well situated we are? We are completely protected. If we go out into the world and we're performing sankirtan or doing preaching or performing any type of devotional service, if there is any incident or something that should happen, we have some situation where we are in danger or we are having some difficulty, we have to understand that that is Krishna's mercy and is also part of the test. Just like here, you're also being tested every day. You have certain service to perform. If you do not perform properly, then that means that there needs to be some correction in your training so that you will be able to perform properly. Similarly, as you leave this immediate Vrindavan, this immediate heavenly protection, and go out into hell, which it really technically is, then you're also going to be tested. Krishna tests you at every moment to see, do you still have faith? Do you actually believe that your spiritual master is going to protect you? Do you have faith that Krishna is with you all the time? And this is what we are being done. This is happening every moment that we are still in this conditioned state. We are being tested. So remember that. Remember, the sooner that you have complete unalloyed faith in the directions and the guidance of the spiritual master, the sooner you will be able to enter into the kingdom of God without any reservations or hesitation. The sooner that you have this desire. I remember one time as a brahmachari, Prabhupada, I had just been chastised by Prabhupada because I had done something wrong. And actually, even though he was chastising me, it was like beating me with a flower because he is so merciful. When the spiritual master chastises you, he is actually using the rod of love. It was the first time I ever had done something that I was completely ashamed, but Prabhupada, he was so merciful, he actually was giving me a lesson simultaneously of what I should do next time if the condition ever happens. And I didn't feel that it was a chastisement. I felt so wonderful. You can imagine sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada, knowing that you had done something wrong, and yet at the same time, he made you feel like, I love you, I'm just going to tell you what you need to do to make sure you don't do it again. And it was so wonderful. So that was the precursor of what I'm getting ready to tell you. As a brahmachari, I didn't understand Prabhupada. I didn't understand who he was. I certainly didn't understand, being in his presence, how wonderful he really was. It's taken me all of these years just to get a small glimpse of how wonderful Srila Prabhupada is. Not was, but is. But anyway, we were leaving. We went to Delhi. And we went from Vrindavan to Delhi, just outside on the outskirts of a life member's house. And we were having a meal. And Prabhupada was talking, and he was giving a lecture. And I asked him a question. I said, Srila Prabhupada, because you have to understand, why are we still in this condition? If we are actually spiritually liberated, why are we still in this condition? And I said, how is it that we are spirit soul, Satchitananda Vigraha, but yet at the same time, we are actually our own worst enemy? And he went on to explain that the reason is that we are envious of the spiritual master, that we are envious of his instruction, and that the envy is also due to the fact that we do not have full faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. And because of that, we are our own worst enemy. We are keeping our own selves bound up because of lack of faith and because we are envious of the spiritual master. Not everyone is what they appear to be on the outside. And deep down inside, we all have these deep-rooted desires to not want to surrender. That's why we are going through this process of purification. That is why you attend these programs. That is why you're doing everything, because what it's doing is, by the mercy of the spiritual master, he is beating you with the rod of love to beat the hell out of you. The hellish condition, the condition of being envious, of being lethargic, of being greedy, of being angry, of being lusty. He is literally beating all of this out of us. And the process is with love. So the beating comes in the form of performing these nice activities that we do. And gradually, you're being beaten back into submission so that you will be under the proper maya, the yoga maya, not the maha maya. Actually, the present atmosphere that we're in right now, this is yoga maya. You're standing, sitting in front of the deities. This is the yoga maya potency. We are very safe. So Prabhupada explained in detail that we are envious of our own true self. We are actually our worst enemy. So next time someone asks you to do some service and there's a hesitation on your part, remember, that is due to the part of you that is still your mind, your intelligence, and your ego. That is the part of you that is actually still your enemy. That is the part of you that is envious of the spiritual master. That is why you hesitate to surrender completely. Otherwise, we would surrender immediately, and we would be able to go back and see Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan immediately, having pastimes with Radharani. Otherwise, that is what we are, that's what's holding up the show. So we see this condition that we are in. And Krishna, by his mercy, is sending the spiritual master to be able to get us out of this. But it says here that in the inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, but when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. And that is why we are in this condition. Remember, originally our character, our true self, that true self, that was before the envy. When actually we started out by being envious of Krishna. It's explained that at some point in time, we actually were envious of Krishna. That means that he was enjoying and we wanted to be the enjoyer. And that cannot be. That cannot exist in the spiritual world. That is impossible. So Krishna says, well, here, I have somewhere for you to go. You can try to be the enjoyer if you wish. And therefore, even in the heavenly planets, they are enjoying like anything. And actually, in the most of supreme heavenly planets, they actually are at a disadvantage because the pleasures are so great that they do forget devotional service. It's explained here that these middle or the lower heavenly planets is just enough so that they will still also remember the Supreme Lord. We have that situation here. Even on this earthly planet, you have people who are so wealthy and have so much material sense gratification that they have forgotten Krishna, that they are forgetting the Lord, they're forgetting the purpose of human life, and consequently they are in great danger. Somehow or another, by Krishna's mercy, you have had just enough suffering to make you realize that you must remember Krishna, otherwise you wouldn't be here. We all have some stories to tell, maybe personal, maybe that you would want to share with us. But at the same time, the point is that we are all suffering, but there are people who are enjoying so much. And this is what's so funny to me. You have to forgive me. I'm going to be critical of what I see here in India, because to me it's a comical situation. It's not really funny, but it's comical. When you compare real enjoyment, we see these advertisements, these nice, beautiful women, oh, enjoying sex life in the material world is the greatest pleasure. And they advertise that if you buy this superhero motorcycle, that you will be able to enjoy this woman, that you will have the greatest material pleasure by getting on this cycle and driving. And all of your friends, when they see you, they will also become happy for you. This is the illusion that is being advertised. And yet, at the same time, when you see them really on the motorcycle, driving in traffic, the roads are dirty, they're being cut off, their lives are at risk, they're suffering like anything, it's hot, they're miserable, but yet the advertisement is telling you that where is this beautiful woman all of a sudden? She's not on the motorcycle with you, and you're not enjoying. So the enjoyment, the idea of enjoying in the material world is such an illusion. Such an illusion. And we see it from the West, it's even more of an illusion because it's not even close to enjoying. Prabhupada said, there is no real enjoyment in the material world. He said, but if it is, it's in Los Angeles. So if you really want to enjoy, you have to go to Los Angeles. That's the closest thing that you'll come to real heaven. And even then, it's just an illusion. You see, that's the biggest problem. The enjoying level that we experience is all different degrees. It is all an illusion, from the heavenly planets down to the lowest ant. It is all an illusion. It is all suffering. But these demigods, they are enjoying, at least compared to what we are enjoying. That's why it's all relative. They're looking at us, or look like, they'll look at the people who live in Los Angeles like we're looking at people who live here in India. We can see that it's just an illusion. They can look at us and see that it's just an illusion. We're not enjoying like they're enjoying. If we are enjoying like they're enjoying, again, our minds would be so enamored in that illusion, we wouldn't even think about devotional service. So we are very fortunate to have this opportunity to be in a situation where we have learned not to want to go to heaven. Because even in the West, that illusion of the Christian concept of going to heaven makes them actually desire material sense gratification even more. Because they feel that there is a relationship between happiness and material pleasures. And the longer that illusion is there, by going to heaven, they'll think that they'll be able to enjoy even more. So you see, let me explain it like this. That is where the real illusion of Maya comes in at. Maya is easy to see in her more hideous form. When you see someone who is broken body, who is laying in the streets, who is suffering, who has deformities, sickness, disease, it's easy to see Maya's misery in that condition. But what is even more evil and what is even more hideous and is even more dangerous is to see Maya in her beautiful form. You see, it's still Maya. It's still the illusion, but she makes it look so nice. Nice new Mercedes, beautiful woman, big house, big bank balance, all of this. It is so beautiful, and it looks nice, but it is more hideous than a leopard in the street. But we don't see it like that. Because our envy of the spiritual master is keeping us and is holding us back. Remember, we're saying envious of the spiritual master. The karmis don't even get to that point. They're completely envious. Envious like snakes. They never even get to that point. They can't even imagine surrendering to someone who is actually going to give them freedom from this illusion. And again, like I said, Maya is so wonderful in her ability to be able to give us or keep us bound up, that she doesn't make everything look bad. She actually makes it look very beautiful. And again, that is the horror. That is the real horror of this material world. That we're thinking that it's nice, but that illusion of being nice is actually what's keeping us bound up. So again, it says that in the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. So they are very fortunate that they are enjoying like anything. And there are people who can do that. They can enjoy, and they're still good devotees. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that is why India has become the best preaching, because it has very nice devotees who are very rich, who also enjoy high degree of sense gratification, but they don't forget. The Birlas, the Khaitans, the Agarwals, many of our life members who are very wealthy, even though they are enjoying, they still have taken and remember that their fortune has come by the mercy of the Lord. And so therefore they give back. They know from generation after generation after generation, they are properly trained, that you give to the Vaishnavas, that you give to the devotees, that you help to support this mission. So therefore, they benefit. So you have to understand, this whole material world is very complex. It's not cut and dry. It's not black and white. There's a lot of shades of gray in between. So you have, again, even in our material world, in this earthly planet, you have people who are very rich, very, very wealthy, even by American standards, that are contributing to be able to spread this Krishna consciousness. So we should give them our respect and our thanks and our appreciation, because they are helping us to be able to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Fortunately, they will also benefit, and by Krishna's mercy, they will also be able to go back to home, back to Godhead, depending upon their karma, and depending upon how and if they do surrender to the instructions of the spiritual master. So you have to understand that as a devotee, we have many different situations that we have to deal with here. We have to be smart. Prabhupada was always smart in his dealings with other people. He never said, "You're all bad, you're all going to hell." He knew that by engaging one who had a particular amount of wealth, that he could actually help to benefit that person. So when you come into contact with people who have these abilities, who are actually able to help us, be very wise. Use your intelligence. Remember that it's not just this person this one time that we're trying to be able to ask and get a donation. But this may be a generation. It may be 100 years from now. Their children's children's children, because their wealth is staying in their family, is going to pass down to generation. And you have to remember, all the devotees who are coming behind you will also need their help and their assistance. And there is nothing wrong with that. That is an intelligent way to approach people. Maharaj, I'm sure he knows very well. He has to go out and he has to deal with very rich, very intelligent people. And he has to be able to understand that, yes, they're enjoying like anything. So they're actually, in many ways, just like these denizens are in the lower heavenly planets. They are enjoying like anything. But they are intelligent and they remember the Supreme Lord by serving the devotees. So that is a good thing. So again, the Krishna consciousness means you use your intelligence. Prabhupada says you have to be intelligent in this way. But again, also at the same time, like I said, you also have to understand just remember throughout the rest of this day, particularly for today, sometimes we can't focus on certain lessons always because life and our experiences are constantly changing. But just for the rest of the day, when you see something very beautiful, just realize that that is the most hideous form of Maya. Because that one thing that looks most beautiful to you, that one thing, and we all still have some attractions. Otherwise, like I said, we would not be here. And when you see something that you're naturally attracted to, just remember that that is also the most hideous form of Maya. And then try to look at it a little differently this time. And it will help you to be able to avoid her pitfalls. She is very tricky. Actually, I have actually had to pray to Maya. I actually ask her, please, you are Krishna's best devotee. You are serving him so nicely and so wonderfully. Now, my dear Maya, please remember that I am also a devotee. I am also trying to serve Krishna, and I know that it's your job to keep me in this illusion. But if you would please just show me somehow how I can be able to remember Krishna, even though you are presenting me with this great illusion, so that I can be able to serve my spiritual master. In other words, as devotees, we don't have to be Maya's enemy. She doesn't have to be our enemy, but we have to be aware of who we're dealing with to be able to get through all of this. All right, so You have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for the very nice class.
Thank you.
Slightly technical question. Prabhupada in this purport says that the denizens of heaven, when they are enjoying so much of sense gratification, they are still remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But also we know that a person who goes to the heavenly planets, after he exhausts his pious mm-hmm. activities, he has to come back into this material world.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow there is a slight apparent contradiction that the denizens of heaven are thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then how do they exhaust their pious activities?
Not all of them. Not all of them have to go back down. In the more, even in the highest heavenly planets, there they don't remember Krishna. And the heavenly planets are so wonderful because they are the demigods. And therefore, because they're enjoying so much that they do fall down because they don't perform any devotional service. This is explaining about the lower heavenly planets, which to us, let's say for an example, the different varshas, the different degrees, probably are several layers higher than our earthly planet, but not to the point that they forget that there is still some misery. Even though it explained in a previous chapter that they enjoy sex pleasure all throughout, and then at the end, then the last year or so, they have a child, they procreate. So they're enjoying, and they don't have to deal with the same experiences that we have to go through raising a family. I remember having, as a grihastha, my grihastha life was suffering. I didn't like it at all. But I thanked my wives for allowing me this misery, because otherwise I would have thought that I was enjoying and I would have wanted to stay attached. But the miseries were such that I could see that, no, this is not enjoying. So they're enjoying in the middle, in the lower heavenly planets, but it says here that they are also devotees because the level that they're at is not too high. So they're actually benefiting. So again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying material sense pleasures if you're able to remember Krishna. Because the natural propensity of the living entity is to enjoy. So they're not performing sinful activities to the extent that they actually fall all the way back down. Okay? Just like us. In here, in the material world, we have people, again, the Birlas, I'm just using them as examples. I'm sure there are many others. The Birlas, Khaitans, and Agarwals. They're enjoying like anything. Now, you can imagine within each one of those families, there are probably some boys some are probably very pious and very strict and probably observe all of the principles. And then you probably have some boys who are also very sinful because they have unlimited sense gratification. They have no restriction and they'll probably go to hell. So depending upon one's individual activities, he has good benefit of good karma, of good life, good intelligence, but if he misuses that, then he'll fall and he'll go into hell. So, in this situation, there's not so much that they cannot, or it says very clearly that they do remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very complex. Even discussing these topics is very complex because then we're talking about universal experiences, things which are far beyond our direct experience. We just have to accept, as Prabhupada has explained here, that they are actually remembering the Supreme Lord. However, they're not as fortunate as we are, because here we have the Samkirtan, and even though we're having material suffering, we also have the greatest liberation process in the universe as well. Any other questions? No? No comments? Yes, sir. Yes, Prabhu.
You were mentioning how in the beginning in ISKCON is very blissful and nice to be in the association of devotees and things that is very simple. And as we've experienced over time, so many difficulties have come and changes have taken place where we've been subjected to, you know, all sorts of tests and trials in our devotional life, society, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So how is it possible to really maintain that purity without fear of, you know, like it may be very nice now, but if there's some difficulty in the future, you know, how we can maintain and to carry that mood forward despite whatever obstacles may arise?
I guess a good question. This is why I'm sitting here in front of you right now. It's called good brahmachari training. Because you're going to experience a lot of obstacles in life. It's never straightforward. Your entrance into Krishna consciousness is not a guarantee of relief of misery. Try to understand that. We give you a freedom from anxiety, but we can't guarantee you freedom from misery, okay? Because you're going to leave. Some of you will leave and go out and become married, and you'll have families, and you'll have to begin a different life. When I was a young brahmachari, I got married, and then I started, in the West particularly, I didn't have a temple to go to all the time. I didn't have devotees to see all of the time. I didn't have good association all of the time. The only thing that carried me through was my good brahmachari training. That which was strongest in my mind and in my heart. Because once you become fixed in a certain understanding of the absolute truth and that you know that the spiritual master has given you something to make you strong and capable of dealing with the material world, then you can go forward. And then you can be successful. Then you can be able to deal with all of the difficulties that will come in life. Again, I was 25, 26 years old, and I left Vrindavan, and I went immediately into Grihastha life, and it was hell. It was hell, literally, from day one. And it says, a deep, dark well of material existence. You're going to find it, and you're going to be in it. And then how do you get out of this well? The only thing that you can do to be able to stay alive long enough to be able to survive properly is to actually keep your brahmachari training at the forefront of your mind and in your heart. And Krishna will carry you through. What does he say? He says he gives you, he preserves what you have, and he provides what you lack. So a lot of things I didn't know, but what I kept doing is that I knew, number one, that I had to keep reading, and I had to keep chanting, no matter what. Raising kids and dealing with my wife and dealing with jobs and working and everything, and I didn't know what else to do. And finally, I realized I had to read and chant and remember Krishna on my own. And that's really what you have to do, even though you're in the association of such wonderful devotees. You really have to remember to do that right now on your own anyway. Because all of your God brothers, you could, at the time of death, if it struck you right now, all of them around you could not help you. You have to be able to save yourself. So that's what the secret is, good brahmachari training. This Krishna consciousness training you're experiencing right now is what will save you. And as a matter of fact, I'll end on this note. I was in Columbus, and I was experiencing great anxiety and frustration because I was dealing with raising my family and taking care of my kids and home and so forth. And Radhanath Swami, he came, and I told him, I says, Maharaj, I need some service. I don't know what to do. I just feel all this anxiety and frustration all the time. He says, well, what are you doing? He says, I said, I'm raising my family. He says, that is your service. And if you understand that that is your service, that is your devotional service, then after he told me that, everything else was okay. I was able to deal with it a lot better. So understand that you have service in life, and if your service is raising your family, that is your service. And you should do it as enthusiastically as you will go about your daily activities right now. And if you do that, then everything will be okay. All right? Jai, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.